Now, that's what endowment means. It's to somehow obtain a vision of the kingdom in such fashion that every ordinary common thing we do becomes extraordinary and uncommon. When we can see that all that we put our hands to and our minds to and our hearts to is related to the building up of the kingdom of God, when this happens, then we become endowed with the consciousness of divine calling. There is no question at all but what the vision of Zion is the mainspring of endowment. Do you remember what it is? I believe it was St. Peter said, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, unto the flock which is scattered abroad, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. And he goes on something like this. talking of the gospel, he says, whereby there are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, ye may be made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption which is in the world through lust. The promises of God stand between us and divine endowment. They are God's assurances of what he would have us to do. And what are these promises? Let me ask you. In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That was the first covenant with Abram. And in order to implement that promise, that he and his seed should be used by the Almighty to bless other people, he said to him, this land will I give thee for an everlasting possession. The calling came first. Abram's response to the calling next. And then came the land. The land which was to be used by those called of God to demonstrate the riches of his grace. You know the story, gentlemen, better perhaps than I do, how it was that this little land, 130 miles long and 60 miles wide, the eastern end of the Mediterranean, still a key piece of land. This little land, north of them were the Assyrians, a mighty nation. East of them, Babylonia, Media, Persia. On the south and on the east, there were the Bedouins. On the south and the west, the great and ancient kingdom of Egypt. On the immediate west, there were the Phoenicians, the Philistines. And to the north and the west, there were the Greeks and later the Romans. If Assyria wanted to get to Egypt, it was through Palestine they marched. When Darius wanted to conquer Greece, he went through Palestine. And when Alexander the Great sought to extend his empire, it was through Palestine he went. And even as late as Napoleon, who sought to destroy the British Empire, he fought one of his major battles in the land of Palestine. Palestine was the Belgium of the ancient world. And yet it was on this little narrow strip of land, in the midst of the warring nations, that God set his people and said to them, you go in there and use that land in the way that I have ordained, and I will prosper you. Not only will you be blessed in basket and in store, but you will receive the knowledge in the course of life as to how to live in peace and prosperity and beauty. And with the riches, both spiritual and temporal, that you will acquire in this business of living under my law, I will take that substance and I'll feed the famishing nations around you. That was the idea. It still is. But you know what happened? Israel proved to be unfaithful. They wanted to be like other people, other nations. Does that have a familiar ring to you? And as a result, they lost their land and their opportunity for ministry. And it was only after severe discipline, much suffering and loss of life, that finally they returned. And then when Jesus came, it was said of him that he should gather his wheat to the floor and thoroughly purge it, and gather his grain into garners, and with it he would feed the nations that were around Israel.